The owner of Hong Kong Stock Exchange has offered to buy the London Stock Exchange operator for nearly $40 billion. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The takeover offer for the 300-year-old London Stock Exchange is a 23% premium to its Tuesday closing price. Shares of the LSE have since surged by more than 15% on the news. The BBC's Leisha Santarelli reports.
Hong Kong Exchange and Clearing's bold move to buy its London rival has surprised many people. The bid from the Asian firm comes weeks after LSE agreed to buy the data provider Refinitiv for a whopping $27 billion. That merger is expected to create a huge player in financial services, but Hong Kong Exchanges says that their bid for LSE is contingent on the merger with Refinitiv not going through. Hong Kong is the world's fourth largest stock market, while London is a couple of places below that, and together they'll be able to grab a bigger slice of the growth in data analytics and electronic trading. There are other synergies to any possible combination, but any deal has to pass through regulatory scrutiny first, and Britain's Business Secretary Andrea Leadsom has said the UK will, quote, look carefully at any investment in the LSE. In London, I'm the BBC's Leisha Santarelli for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly higher today, while shares of one of South Africa's most valuable companies soared in their Amsterdam trading debut. The company, Prosus, instantly became one of Europe's biggest consumer tech firms. It was created when the internet firm Naspers spun off its 31% stake in China's Tencent. As worries grow about the health of Europe's powerhouse economy, German Chancellor Angela Merkel today warned tax revenues could be lower than initially thought, which could limit the government's ability to fight a recession with fiscal stimulus. The Kiel Institute for the World Economy said trade and Brexit uncertainty could push Germany into a recession this quarter. Dr. Stefan Kuths is head of the Institute's forecasting center.
Whether it will be a full-fledged recession is still unclear, but the manufacturing sector is under pressure, and that's why tax revenues will be much lower than previously expected. But there are some built-in stabilizers in the German fiscal system, which will automatically stabilize the economy. The structural surplus in the government budget of the recent years will melt down to zero by the year 2021. So there's already some fiscal stimulus underway.
How worried is the German government of a deep and possibly severe recession?
It's difficult to know how nervous the government actually is. Our analysis shows that a severe recession is not on the horizon. We must not forget that Germany comes from a long-lasting period of an upswing. And what we have seen in the last year and in the first half of this year was more or less a cooling down back to normal capacity utilization levels.
So what does the German government need to do now?
Government should play according to the rules, which means respect the so-called debt brake. This allows for cyclical adjustments of the budget. So if there will be budget deficits, which are driven by the current weakness of the economy, this is fine. This is the kind of fiscal policy that we are suggesting, in particular because the German economy is facing a much more important challenge in the upcoming decades, which is demographic change. And so far, the government has done very little to prepare the economy for the tremendous change which is underway.
Dr. Stephen Kuths at the Kiel Institute for the World Economy, thank you.
Was a pleasure.
China will lift tariffs on 16 product categories from the U.S., including cancer drugs, lubricant oil, and seafood. Investors hope it's a sign of easing tension, but critics warn it could be a token gesture. Overall, for consumers on both sides of the Atlantic, items are getting more expensive, including those made from human hair. The BBC's Alice Porter reports on the industry.
The global market in wigs and extensions made from human hair is huge, expected to reach revenues of more than $10 billion by 2023. I went to meet the owner of a London salon who says business is booming.
My name is Jumi, and I've been running hairdressing as a beauty professional for 35 years.
She says celebrity culture has left many women wanting to emulate the long, thick hair of people like Ariana Grande and Kylie Jenner.
I use Brazilian hair and I use Peruvian hair. The cheapest one, which is £50.
Okay, so that's about $60. Okay. But with the demand far outstripping the supply, Do the women who sell their hair get a fair price? For many families living in poverty, selling their hair can provide money which wouldn't be available to them otherwise.
Soy Carolina Ayala, venezolana.
I'm Carolina Atala. I'm Venezuelan and I'm 35 years old. 5 months ago, I was left with no choice but to sell my hair. It used to be so long, it reached my waist. I had to sell it because we're going through a time of great need in Venezuela. I sold it for about 80,000 pesos, like $25. It wasn't enough, really, but we needed the money.
It's not just the potential exploitation of women, which is problematic in this lucrative industry. It's also largely unregulated, with little guarantee that the packet of Peruvian hair in a salon is from Peru, or even human hair at all. Christina Adesina owns a company called Fair Hair Care. She explains some of the problems with the industry.
I was going to stores and I was buying hair, and when I bought them on a box, it said 100% human hair. When I washed and blow dried it, it wasn't behaving like human hair. It will burn, it will shred. The marketing on this is so vague, it's unregulated. And the reason why they're allowed to put up 100% human hair on a box is because it's 100% for humans.
Christina is pushing for better regulation of the industry. In the meantime, clearly it pays for the buyer to be aware. In London, I'm the BBC's Alice Porter for Marketplace.
Finally, on the battleground of fashion retail, one polka dot dress was the salvo for Zara's parent company, Inditex. The $50 dress helped drive a more than 7% jump in sales for the first half of the year. It was so popular among consumers, it even had its own Instagram. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.